So this is King Fritu's 100 Court Sacrifices, text number 40, chapter 19, fourth canto. Can repeat after this. Fritu Maharaj took his bath, which is customarily taken after the performance of a yajna, and received the benediction and due blessings of the demigods, who were very pleased by his glorious activities. Support by his Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta. Yajna means Lord Vishnu. For all yajna is meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to pause for the French translation, but there's no way I'm going to know if it's finished or not, because I can't really hear it. Since the demigods automatically become pleased with the performance and sacrifice, they bestow benedictions upon the executors of sacrifice. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the branches, trunk, twigs, flowers, and leaves are all satisfied. Similarly, when one gives food to the stomach, all parts of the body are rejuvenated. In the same way, if one simply satisfies Lord Vishnu by the performance of yajna, one satisfies all the demigods automatically. In turn, the demigods offer their benedictions to such a devotee. The pure devotee, therefore, does not ask for benedictions directly from the demigods. His only business is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he is never in need of things supplied by the demigods. So this is the end of the chapter. So there's two more verses that don't have purpose. So we'll finish it up. Vipra satya shishas tushta shadaya labdha dakshina ashisho yuyuju chattar adi rajaya satkita. With great respect, the original king, Fritu, offered all kinds of rewards to the brahmanas present at the sacrifice. Since all these brahmanas were very much satisfied, they gave their heartfelt blessings to the king. Vaya Bhuta Mahabaho Sarva Eva Samagati Pujita Dana Manavyam Pitri Devarshi Manavaha. All the great sages and brahmanas said, O mighty king, by your invitation, all classes of living entities have attended this assembly. They have come from Pitri Loka and the heavenly planets. And great sages as well as common men have attended this meeting. Now all of them are very much satisfied by your dealings and your charity towards them. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the fourth canto, 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Fritu's 100 Horse Sacrifices. Om Gyanatiminandasya Gyanangana Shalakaya Chaksulimitanyena Tasmai Shri Gravenama Shri Chaitanya Gnabhu Samsatramina Bhutalai Svayamu Sridamayam Dharati Vahapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Parakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sati Chakam Dhagana Vagna Tantikam Tantra Jeevam Sadvetam Tavarutam Vajina Svarika Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Dhagana Lalika Shri Vishakam Itam Shri Pancha Kalpa Tavubyascha Vipas
सिंधुभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः। कृष्णा त्वदीय पदपङ्कज पञ्चनं आद्यागमे विशुचि मरसराजं सन् प्राणापयां समये कपवर्तपेक्षाय तन्त्रावरोधन विरो स्मरणं कृतस्य।
So this assembly also, people come from all over. Anybody here from the heavenly planet? Huh? Anybody from the hellish planet? From the hellish planet of Lagos? Anyone from the hellish planet of Port Harcourt? It's become worse than Lagos. Port Harcourt has become worse. More traffic and more pollution in Lagos. So we learn a lot, and the king, you know, although the king is the proper Vedic king, the king is authorized to collect taxes, and everybody will give their taxes. Like a farmer gets something like 25% of his. But also, if he has a bad year, the king doesn't take anything. They're reasonable. They don't force them to suffer and cheat them. But the king, they said the people would wonder where the king was getting so much, because the government would provide so much for the kingdom. Everything was so nice, and there was so much charity being given, and all the poor people getting taken care of, and you know, big festivals where everything is free and everybody can come. And that even though they all paid their taxes, they were wondering, where did they get so much to give back so much? Because that's the mood of a proper government or any proper person, that he wants to give, and the more they give, the more they get. Right? Giving is getting, actually. But if we give with the motivation that I'll get something back, that doesn't work. Krishna is too smart for us. You might have heard of Murphy's Law. You ever heard of that? The first law, Murphy's Law, is that whatever can go wrong will go wrong. So therefore be prepared, you know. If you're going to go somewhere, make sure you have a spare tire and you have gas and you know, so that whatever goes wrong, you're ready for it. Then things won't go wrong so much. If we don't prepare, then everything goes wrong. But it goes on and on and on. They made books full of, you can look on the internet. They have Murphy's Law for religion. There's so many different things. They're all in the same line. So one says, if you wash your car, it will rain. But then it says, if you want it to rain and you wash your car, it won't rain. You know, if you're thinking, okay, I'll make it rain, it doesn't work. But if you just want your car to look clean, it will rain right away and make it dirty again. So things like that, that's just life. So whatever we give, we get back much more. If you give an ordinary charity, you get back the same in this life or the next. Some people are born very, like they said, Kaliya. Even though he was somehow a demon, he was a king. He was very opulent. He had loving wives and everything. Because in previous life he must have done a lot of pious activity. But still somehow he's still a demon. But he's the material nature automatically rewards. But devotional service is independent of all that. Sorry, I forgot about the translation. Because I can't see or hear you. I have to stop, right? So, anyway, bhakti is independent of jnana and karma and all those other things. It stands alone. And our one ability to make advancement in devotional service does not depend on our good or bad karma from the past. It depends on how much effort we make to surrender. Material
progress, you know, also depends on our karma and its many factors. But bhakti does not depend. It's independent of our palm reading or our astrological or anything. Those things can predict, you know, if we're going to get sick, or if we're going to make money, or we're going to get married, or we're going to have children. That it can predict, but it can't predict if you're going to surrender to Krishna or not surrender. That is a choice that the soul can make at any time. And so we see some people come and very quickly they advance and take up everything in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. What happened? Hare Krishna. Now it's all right. That's not because of good karma, that's because of previous devotional service. If you're rich or beautiful, or that may be due to your good karma. If you're ugly and poor, that's your bad karma. So, you know, Krishna tells Arjuna, you can't lose, you know, whatever good you do, they will get the benefit in the next life. So, one may be born in a Brahmana family or a rich family because of previous yoga practices. Also, someone may be born in a very bad circumstance. If that will help him, if he wants to surrender to Krishna, that will help him. Okay. We've been trying to surrender to Krishna for many lifetimes, so gradually we get closer and closer. So the Brahmanas were, in the Vedic culture, they would receive all the charity from the kings. But they didn't keep it. They were given it because they were renounced, and they would distribute it properly to those who needed it. And sometimes they would just give it back. Like Lord Ramachandra, he had a very big yajna. And he gave everything to the Brahmins, the whole kingdom, everything he had except one dress, and Sita gave everything she had except one dress. And the Brahmanas gave it all back because he was such a good king that they knew he could do everything right, so they don't have to worry about it. They didn't need all the gold and jewels and all that. Grains and all those things. Nowadays, many of the Brahmanas, and that when we say Brahmana, we don't mean only Hindus, but the priests of any religion, they still get a lot of charity. And many of them are very, very rich and very big sense gratifiers. Right? In anywhere you go, in any religion, it's not like one is good and another is bad. But then many are also bona fide. But it's hard to tell. Prabhupada was saying, and excuse me, I got the answer. Two people can be standing there, they may look the same. You can't tell this one's good and this one's bad by looks. You have to see by action. So this is an example that's given in different parts of the Bhagavatam and the slokas, the root of the tree. One morning walk in Vrindavan, with a little Mayavadi guy along with Ross Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was keeping up a very friendly talk with him. Prabhupada said, "You have Gandhi disease. We'll have to cure you." He laughed. So then there was a big, because he was saying his Mana Seva, Manava Seva, Madhava Seva. That's a Mayavadi slogan. Serving man is serving God. So there was a big tree in Prabhupada. You see that tree? Yes, I see that tree. Prabhupada said, "Could you water every leaf of that tree?" He said, "No." And Prabhupada laughed. He said, "Even if you could water every leaf, it wouldn't help the tree. You gotta water the root. Right? You can wash the leaf, but it doesn't nourish it. You have to put the water on the root. Right? Then everything flourishes, the fruits and flowers and leaves and everything." So the same thing, if we try to serve all the humans or all the living entities, we can't do it. And wouldn't do them any good anyway if it's not connected with Krishna. But if we serve Krishna, then that can benefit everyone. Many times in Nigeria, the reporters would ask us, how can you help anyone just by chanting? What are you going to do about the poverty? But actually the poverty is not that there isn't anything. It's that a minority of people are keeping everything for themselves and the other people don't get it. Right? It's like there's a lot of prasadam over there, so if Shukla left early and ate everything, then the rest of you wouldn't get any prasadam. Not that there wasn't any prasadam, right? You know, say that 5 or 6 went over there and just ate everything and sold it, you know, and then the rest of the devotees come and it's all gone. It's not because there wasn't any, it's just mishandled. So like Nigeria is actually one of the richest countries in the world as far as resources and all these things. But the most of the people are very poor, struggling to get food. Majority. And the rich people are super, super rich. But they don't seem to share it very much. And that's the state of the world in Kali Yuga. More and more, the number of super rich people is fewer and they're getting richer. And the number of poor people is increasing. So if we serve Krishna and we satisfy Krishna, like this yajna satisfied Krishna, it satisfied all the brahmanas, they got their charity, they give it to everybody, they bless the king, he gets better, does more good things. And the Bhagavad Gita says that yajna without remuneration to the brahmanas is useless. You know, like, we had a case here one time, someone invited us to do a big yajna for his new building, a big Western yajna, and all the devotees went all day, and all he did was complain about the way we did it, and then he didn't give any donations. And as far as I've heard, his business is not doing very well. I don't know. But without remuneration to the brahmanas, yajna doesn't work. The other example is the stomach. When you eat, you put it in your mouth and then it goes to the stomach. And the stomach has some kind of mystic power to distribute it to the rest of your body. I don't think any scientist really knows exactly how it works, but somehow or other, something happens, right? Everybody knows. If you just shove it in your ear, it won't work. Sometimes in the hospital, they put the food through the nose. But it still goes down into the stomach. It's just that the mouth is, you know, it's stopped up or something. I don't know, sometimes they can put it through the backside in terrible emergency. Prabhupada told the Mayavadi once, you know, when they say everything is the same, they said, why don't you eat this thing? So there's a story once that the senses got together, and all the senses, and they were all having a union meeting. And they said, the stomach doesn't do anything. You're just lying there all the time. And we all have to work to put food in him. It's not fair. The arms and legs are complaining. They have to run around. And the eyes have to look for... Everybody complained. So they went on strike. We're not going to serve the stomach anymore. You should work. Right? And then, you know, day by day they were getting weaker and weaker. So they managed to get together again for another meeting. And they realized, you know, we better to serve the stomach. It benefits all of us. Right? So most people are on strike. They don't want to serve Krishna. They want Krishna to serve them. Right? I think I told the other day I saw a sign in America that said many people want to serve God as an advisor. They don't want to serve as a servant. So those are just basic examples. A devotee never asks benedictions from the demigods, because Krishna, the demigods can't do anything without Krishna. They just worship Krishna, and the pure devotee doesn't even ask for anything, but he gets everything according to, you know, what Krishna wants to give us. We should be satisfied with the things we have and the position we have and all that in society. But we should not be satisfied that we've done enough service, that we've chanted enough or something. We should never be satisfied with that. Krishna says, Yadrichcha labdha santushto. A devotee should be satisfied with whatever comes automatically. So sometimes we think, well, I've done enough service now. I'm satisfied. I don't need to do any more. I can take it. You know, I can do one artik a week or something. I'm happy with that. You know. The mind will make tricks, but the devotee wants to always do more and more service. But he's not thinking, I need a bigger house, or I need more money, or I need this, I need another wife, I need more children, I need, you know, all that stuff. He's satisfied with whatever Krishna gives him. Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udadadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. This is a verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a long series of slokas about the different demigods and what benediction you can get from each demigod. I can remember Indram India Kamas too. Prabhupada lectured on that one. It was quite shocking. If you want sense gratification, you should worship Indra. He's the king of heaven. He gets the most sense gratification. He has the most beautiful girls and more of the entertaining and, you know, the cupids. And Indra has 1,000 eyes. He was cursed. the reason he was cursed is because he was having an affair with his guru's wife or something. So he was cursed to have 1,000 vaginas on his body. The state said, you love the vagina so much, you have 1,000 vaginas. And when Prabhupada was describing this stinking, dripping, it was quite amazing. Nobody fell asleep that day. And then Indra begged him, please, please, not this, you know. They said, okay, you have 1,000 eyes. So that's how he got 1,000 eyes. And then Prabhupada said that unfortunately many of our men are more attached to the vagina than Krishna. Quite graphic. He said, if you want the vagina, you're not going to get Krishna. You're a whole long thing. So, Indram India Kamas to Brahma Varchasa. If you want some kind of power, you worship Lord Brahma. If you want good health, you worship the Ashwini Kumar. There's, you know, like a whole long list of all these different demigods and what kind of material benediction you can get. Is it okay for the translator, or am I just talking? Because I forget, because I can't hear the translator, so I don't know what's going on. Then, after all that, you know, all these different benedictions, how to get them. If you want to get rich, you worship Kuvera, you know. And that's in the Bhagavatam. So someone might think, well, I better do that. You know, I want to get rich, I'll start Kuvera Puja. But like I said yesterday, at the end, maybe everybody wasn't there, but I've heard so many times, especially in Nigeria, that, you know, whatever we present, the problem is we don't have money. And it seems like that many times. If we had money, buy a van, get some books, get a helicopter, go out and preach like anything. But we saw that one of our devotees did get a lot of money. But he got distracted quite seriously. It didn't solve the problem. It didn't increase the preaching. It made it trouble, actually. So that is not the problem. The problem is we're not Krishna conscious enough. And if we keep that in mind and always trying to be more Krishna conscious, then everything will come along and we'll be happy, and Krishna will give us more and more facility to practice. That's what we really want to do. So anyway, the next verse is this, Akama Sarvakama Va, Moksha Kama Udadadi. Akama means even if you have no material desires. Oh, Akama Sarvakama. Or if you have all material desires, if you're just completely crazy, mad after everything. Moksha Kama Udadadi. Or if you just want liberation. That's usually when someone gets really frustrated and they can't get what they want. They think, oh, I just want liberation. I want to get out of here. Go to heaven. You know, it's salvation. Moksha kama udadati. If he has good intelligence, then tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivra means intense, like a lightning bolt. Very strong. Tivrena bhakti yogena. You practice bhakti very intensely, very powerfully. Yajeta purusham param. You worship the Supreme Person. But that is the final conclusion after learning all the different material things you can get. It says it's not a good idea to worship the demigods, you should worship the Supreme Lord. Whether you're no desire or full of desires. Same prescription for everyone. If Narottam Das Thakur said, Vihe Vani, Vani Tak, Vihe Gato, Vani Gato, Hari Nama Bolo, something like that. Whether you're in the Grihastha, whether you're in the home, whether you're married and entangled in family life, whether you're in the forest, whether you're a sannyasi, chant the holy name. Whether you're happy, whether you're sad, chant the holy name. No matter what, if it's a funeral, if it's a wedding, if a baby's born, chant. That's our festival, no matter what the occasion is. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that will make everything good. So we all know, we all experience kirtan, we become very, very happy, and everybody's happy when there's lots of devotees around. And especially we haven't seen for a while, and it's very happy. So we have to remember that and try to chant all the time. Then we'll be free from anxiety. So satisfying the brahmanas is the duty. That's what good kings, rich people, vaishyas, you know, they work to do that. They want to have yoga. They want to. But in Kali Yuga, many of the brahmanas are just thinking, yes, well, they just do a business of getting charity from the rich people. They live very opulently. But that is not what it's supposed to be. The brahmana is living very simply, but he is giving everything. He may get so much, but he's distributing it. Like one devotee was studying different things, and most of the so-called charitable institutions, like the Red Cross or the UNICEF or something, they collect for a specific cause, and about 10% of what they collect actually goes for the purpose. The rest goes to support the office and the collectors and the, you know, the fundraising chief who flies first class and stays in the five-star hotels and has big meetings, and you know, and then they, of course, they give a lot in charity. The numbers look very big, but it's only 10% of what they collect. And he said ISKCON is the other way around. At that time, about 90% goes, like in Bombay now, and the devotees are distributing something like 500,000 school lunches every day around Bombay and other places. The government gives money for the lunches, but the devotees actually spend more than the government gives to make it better. Some other people get the money and spend less, and they make a lot of profit. Because if you're distributing 500,000 lunches and you get 1 rupee extra for each one, right? 1 rupee profit, quite a bit. 500,000 rupees adds up. So, we want to be like a charitable institution, giving Krishna. Of course, we take donations, but that's not the purpose of our preaching. That's a side effect, side benefit of actually preaching and actually being charitable. The highest charity work is to give Krishna katha, tapakatamitam, tapakajivanam, shrimadatatam, shravanamangalam, bodhigridanti, bodhidajana. The gopis said that those who distribute topics of Krishna, Krishna Katha, that is the best charity work, the most magnanimous, the most munificent, fruitful. Alright, now I see they're bringing in a big truckload, or maybe they're just trying to sell it. It's packet water. The water coming out of our pump over there is much better than any water than these packets. And throwing the plastic around is a very low-class thing. I read in one university magazine in Lagos, I think. So the boy was writing, he saw some beautiful girl come out from the room, and he was so totally enamored by her and watching her and planning how he would approach her. And then she threw the water bag on the ground. And he said, you know, low class bum, I don't want anything to do with him. So I was thinking, at least somebody is aware of that, right? Now you can recycle them.
Do you think the water is leaking from the bathroom? I mean the key. The plumber can do something like that.
So try to avoid even drinking from those packets. The World Health Association warned tourists don't drink from them because you don't have any idea where that water came from. It's not coming from a deep borehole well. It's just coming from some local cap somewhere. And this water is coming from very deep and it's very good. And it's full of life. And it's free. Now they're bringing thousands of these water bags and then every morning somebody's going to have to be picking them all up. Yesterday we were at the farm and the devotee you look behind and you know there's our beautiful farm with plastic loka. The whole world will be covered with plastics when it, but now they're recycling these water bags so there's not so many laying around anymore. Because if you get one ton, you get 150 new CDs for people collecting. So just remember this, that, you know, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Those are the ultimate rules. Remember that Krishna is in everyone's heart. So how we treat other living entities is how we're treating Krishna. Especially the devotees. So be very careful to treat devotees very respectfully and nicely. And offer your service. Sometimes it's service to teach. Sometimes it's service to let someone serve you. Someone has to accept the service, someone has to give it, right? It's a reciprocation. But not that we always want to be the master. Sometimes we want to be the servant, sometimes we can be the master. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So there's six loving exchanges. Offering prasadam and accepting prasadam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting gifts in charity. You can't give charity if no one will take it. Right? Okay, Krishna wants us to stop. Junk. Yeah. Junk. Buy a new one. You must have another microphone. On the table there, there's one book of pastimes of Radhana. And then call Mother Ruchira. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any questions? We're going to have a seminar later, so it's probably... When is prasadam? When can we leave? When can we eat? A good question. No, it's an important question. Krishna, prasadam is a way that Krishna benedicts us, calls us mercy. Prasadam means mercy. That, you know, we have to maintain this body. So in normal yoga, one is supposed to never eat anything that tastes good, and, you know, never even think about talk about good tasting food or anything. But in Bhakti Yoga, we eat Krishna's remnants, and Krishna is Supreme Lord, so we should get the best things. But we can also enjoy our senses, but center around Krishna and maintain the gross body in a way that's actually spiritual. So it's a great special mercy. And that's why we want to distribute prasadam as much as possible. Every devotee, householder, temple, whoever it is, should be finding ways and means to distribute prasadam to the public. Even if you start just doing a few every day, 10 people, 5 people, that's auspicious. But it will increase because people will get happy to see that. They will become happy. And it's easy. Where's Mother Richard?
But I'm here.
I just saw her go back.
Okay, I'm fine.
This is a book somebody gave me. The Glories and Pastimes of Srimati Radharani. Ah, just what I've been looking for. I forgot where I put it. Thought I lost it. Rupa Goswami writing the Nectar of Devotion. Varshana. It's a mistake though. It says the birthplace. It's not the birthplace of Radha. It's the place where she grew up. She was born in another place. It's confusion. Same picture. Shamananda, that's a far off story. Mayapur, Radha Madhava. So, she's the head servant of Srimati Radharani, but so I have to give it to her. But can you promise to share this with other devotees? Huh? Will you share this? You sure? You promise in front of everybody? We want it. Radharani has all the. She has all good qualities. Srimati Radharani has all good qualities and unlimited name. Some whatever qualities, she's always submissive to authorities. She's always respectful to everybody. You know, even though she's the queen and the best of everybody, she's the nicest and most humble. So therefore, she knows Krishna's heart. She loves Krishna more than anyone else. That's how we cannot conquer Krishna by power. Kaliya couldn't conquer Krishna. Nobody could conquer. They get smashed. But Radharani is not this Krishna. You can bow down your feet and beg or please. Out of love. And love is, Krishna is controlled by love. The devotee can also control, and we control other people by love. But if we're preaching, one Mataji in Hawaii, she was quite good at book distribution. And she was trying to distribute to Japanese people as a new life experience, you know, for her. And so she asked me, how can you get these people? Because I was living in Japan at the time. And I said, you have to love them. And she got really mad. I was supposed to give her some special mantra or technique or something. It's going to manipulate these people, you know. And, how can you say that? And then a couple of days later, she said, you know, that's right. If you have love for people, your children, and yourself, you know, when you're preaching, if you really love that person and you really think, you know, this person is, Krishna is waiting for this person to get back connected to him, and I can help, I hope I can help. And they'll become very alive. Anybody you're dealing with. We had one boy in Japan. He's a brilliant math student, a PhD at Tokyo University, which is Harvard in Japan. Even to get in, you know, hardly anybody can even get in. Graduating is not so hard, and getting in is really hard. If you get in, they know you're going to make it, because that means they work 20 hours a day. So when he was a graduate student, then he was teaching other students. You know, they teach the high school kids or something, and they hire them in Tokyo and they pay good money. And the students were really rowdy, and they were giving him a really hard time. He didn't know what to do. He was ready to quit. Then he thought, I've been chanting for so many years, and I got to think of Krishna, and I got to see Krishna in the heart of all these students. And he started thinking like that. And then they all became nice. He was amazed. You know, the whole classroom. He didn't preach to them, but he just fixed his mind that Krishna's in all their hearts, and Krishna's testing me, and I got to serve Krishna. So that's one lesson. That try it. It's highly recommended. See Krishna in your heart. One devotee asked Prabhupada, how can we see Krishna? Because devotees are thinking you're going to see, like, you know, the deity jumping out of the heart. Prabhupada said, keep reading Bhagavad Gita. Then you'll understand. Even though we may not, if eventually you do have a vision of seeing Krishna. If we're literally seeing the form of Krishna. But we can see by hearing and by understanding this. Blind people can sometimes see better than other people. Is that Ray Charles? He's a very famous musician. And Frank Sinatra said, if there's any genius in music, it's him. But he went blind when he was 12 years old. And his mother said, it's a tough world out there, and I'm not going to baby you. I'm not going to make anything easy for you. You're going to have to learn to get by. So he became like such a great piano player, and he could cool and everything. And nobody would know. They couldn't know. They wouldn't think he was blind. He just practiced. And he said that he smoked, and he had a cigarette ashtray on the piano. He could hear the smoke. And his hearing became so. And I saw documentary, one boy, he went blind when he was 3 years old. They had to remove him completely. And when he was 6 or 7 years old, he was riding in the car with his mother. And he said, look at that big building over there. And his mother said, what do you mean? How do you know there's a building over there? But this guy, just on his own, he started going. And hearing the echo. And he plays basketball, he rides a bicycle out in the traffic. And his mother says, I never worry about him, I just tell him, keep making that. And he goes to school and he gets really good, he plays video games. The doctors are, they said his hearing is normal, but somehow he tunes in. So he can recognize it. Sort of on his bicycle, zigzagging on a skateboard, you know, between the cars, and shooting the basketball and dropping it in like a bat. So, you know, don't think that, you know, we all have, I can't do this because, oh, nobody's helping me. Right? Charlie Boy did a whole campaign to help those Okada people. He got beat up by the police and everything. And finally they said, okay, you guys can work. He said, okay, you can go to work. They said, give us money. You should give us money. We can't work now. We need money. No, you know, before they were going to be banned. So it's tough to help people, but you do it anyway. If we're giving without any motive, except to give Krishna, we'll be very happy and Krishna will take care. We don't know exactly. We can't promise that you'll get rich. You know, we can't promise that you'll get poor. We don't know what Krishna's going to do. We can do anything. But we can promise you'll be very happy in whatever condition. And that's all anybody wants anyway. Right? Would you rather be poor and happy, or would you rather be rich and have all kinds of diseases and, you know, people threatening your life all the time, and, you know, right? And be in total anxiety in the stock market and everything. Some people think I'd rather be rich. it doesn't necessarily make you happy. Poverty doesn't, there's nothing, only thing that really can make you happy is the consciousness of Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Have an enjoy your breakfast, take your time. And